a housing price creep.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke, and it's time for the Morning Open. We check in on business and the economy as Wall Street begins the trading day. In a moment, is this morning's news a sign of a steadying housing market? And how come oil isn't cheaper? But first, where's Wall Street? The S&P 500 dead flat right now, and the NASDAQ isn't much better. It's up 0.1%. The Dow, though, is 40 points ahead at 9,908. Shares of U.S. Steel are down 4%. The company said this morning it lost money for the third quarter in a row. European stocks are up about 0.5%, and Asian stocks were off sharply today. Okay, let's bring in Julie Nieman. She's an analyst at Smith Moore & Company, joining us live from St. Louis. Hi, Julie.
Morning, Bill.
So this morning, the Case-Shiller Index showed home prices rising by 1.2% from July to August. That is the fourth monthly increase in a row. So does that mean the price bottom is behind us?
Well, I think you're going to see a stabilization here. I did throw up a piece of confetti, but the summer pricing season is over, and that's the key thing. We got this good decline in prices. Everybody buys a house during the summer. That's pretty much over, and it's really down from bubble pricing where we had been before. The big problem is the banks have what's called a shadow inventory, and that's about 3 to 5 million houses out there ready to be foreclosed upon. The banks haven't done it yet, so this could really put more pressure on housing in the future here. So it's not today and today only you get this bargain.
A shadow inventory plus that $8,000 first-time homebuyer tax credit expires next month, so that's not a last-minute buying rush. It's going to go poof?
Well, pretty much you're seeing a little bit of that. In all likelihood, that $8,000 is not going to be renewed because there were some big problems with it. And there's also concern, too, that how much more stimulus do you need? And that's going to bring rationality back into the markets again. Prices are going to stay down here.
Oil is about $79 a barrel, Julie, cheaper than last year. But why isn't it even cheaper than that with demand down and inventories bulging?
You're absolutely right. It's not being based on fundamental demand at all. In fact, demand is still declining. What we're seeing now, though, is oil is a proxy for gold and the dollar. So as oil and the dollar goes down, oil is going up and vice versa here. It's an investment, not a commodity. And whenever that happens, that oil becomes an investment, you're building up to a bubble here. And ultimately, supply and demand will come in. I'm looking for a real good correction in the price of oil.
St. Louis's own Julie Nieman at Smith Moore & Company. Good to talk with you.
Thanks.
President Obama will be talking energy today. He's expected to announce almost $3.5 billion in stimulus grants to upgrade the so-called smart electric grid. Renewable energy advocate Harvey Wasserman says we could use more smarts when it comes to our energy use.
The bottom line is that we actually don't know that much about how homes can really be made more efficient and where we can make our best strides forward to make homes, offices, and factories self-sufficient.
The stimulus money will go for smart meters in your house to help you take advantage of the lowest electric rates and equipment to reduce power failures. And also it's supposed to help us take better advantage of renewables. Continental and United Airlines were talking merger last year. Those talks broke down, but today they get cozier. Continental is leaving the SkyTeam partnership to join the Star Alliance, which is headed by United. And if you think of those alliances as just mile-sharing clubs, Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite says there's more to it than that.
Switching from one airline team to another is quite a process, but Continental says it's worth it. The change is expected to bring the airline an extra $100 million a year. Continental will team up with airlines like United and Lufthansa on routes all over the world. Airline analyst Daryl Jenkins says joining Star Alliance could lead to a merger with United in the future.
An alliance like this gives your employees a good chance to know the employees of the other one. See how close their cultures fit. Think of it as dating in the romance game of airlines.
He says, after all, Delta and Northwest got used to each other as members of the SkyTeam Alliance for several years. Then they merged, and the merger has been pretty successful. Right now, Continental is preparing for courtship. It's busy replacing the old SkyTeam logos on its planes and even its napkins, which so far are still free. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
This is Marketplace Morning Report for Tuesday, October 27, 2009, at marketplace.org. Remember all those clunkers that got traded in over the summer in exchange for a government rebate? Well, hundreds of thousands of them are now clogging up junkyards, and the nation's auto recyclers, which is what they're called these days, are overloaded. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman explains.
Mark Forkum manages a chain of auto recycling facilities on the West Coast that strip junked cars and sell the parts. What's left is crushed and shredded into scrap metal. Forkum says so many clunkers came in so fast.
Instead of the parts being recycled, the usable parts, they just went straight into the shredder and got chewed up.
And clunkers are still piling up. Some recyclers have thousands waiting to be salvaged. Under the Cash for Clunkers law, recyclers have to dispose of junked cars within 6 months of receiving them. The industry wants an extension to at least a year. Part of the problem, says Michael Wilson of the Automotive Recyclers Association, is that consumers traded in a lot of late-model trucks and SUVs in perfectly good condition.
The parts were a lot better quality than they ever imagined. It's going to take a while for them to pull that many parts off the Cash for Clunker vehicles.
Once the vehicles are stripped, recyclers have to drain the oil and antifreeze. They have until early next year to send the first wave of clunkers to the wrecker. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
With unemployment at about 9.8%, the Senate started work on a bill this week that would extend benefits to jobless people in all 50 states. A growing proportion of those unemployed Americans are aged 40 and above. Tonight on PBS stations, Frontline visits a hair salon in New York where clients tell the owner how tough it is to find work when you're over 40. Frontline producer Arun Roth reports.
Deborah Bowles has been running her hair salon on the Upper East Side of Manhattan for more than 20 years.
Hi, Deborah.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Her clients are rich bankers, poor actors, and just about everything in between. Most of them are over 40. She says none of them expected to be struggling financially at this point in their lives.
Every day, every one of my clients sit in my chair and talk about the economy.
We lost a deal in Miami, which was not so good.
When we don't have a lot of money, I don't know how else to put it.
Last week, I had an unemployment check and two notices of foreclosure from two different banks on my home.
That was Scott Sambade, Emma Nelson, and finally Chris Calby, who at one time made a fortune selling audiovisual systems to big businesses.
I was very successful. I was successful beyond anything I had ever imagined, actually, and had built a company that was close to a $100 million a year sales company.
Calby had to sell his business in the early 2000s. He took a lower-paying job and was laid off last year. He's 58 years old. Steven Greenberg is the founder of Jobs 4.0. It's a website that helps workers over 40 find employment.
Statistically, it's taking older workers about 30% longer than younger workers to find a job now. While they have great skills at the job that they've done over the years, those skills don't extend to how to find a job.
Greenberg says many face discrimination, and that's getting worse as the economy deteriorates. Chris Calby says he sent out hundreds of resumes and been on about 10 interviews, but had no luck.
Whenever I go for the interviews, they go very well. I always think that I'm going to get the job. And most often, nearly every time, not only don't I get the job, but I don't even get a response.
Leaning back in his chair at the salon, Calby says that like so many people his age, he barely recognizes the business world anymore. In Boston, I'm Arun Roth for Marketplace.
Tonight's episode of Frontline, Close to Home, airs on most PBS stations at 9 p.m. When you're walking down the butcher aisle of the supermarket today, keep your eyes open. You might get a good deal on beef. People have been cutting back on steak and hamburger, and in turn, cattle ranchers are getting less for their cows. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, Ethan Lindsay wrangled this story on a ranch in Central Oregon.
Rebecca Borer and her husband Aaron run the Nine Peaks Ranch outside of the town of Terrebonne. They have about 400 bulls on a beautiful piece of land with stunning mountain views. These aren't your everyday cows. The Borers raise grass-fed black Angus bulls that can cost nearly $10,000 for a really good one.
These bulls hopefully are going to go sire some of that really tasty Angus beef that you hear so much about.
But the economic troubles of the ranching industry have hit them like everybody else. The couple really began to worry about it this time last year when they held their annual bull sale.
Nobody knew, well, what should we pay for bulls? Oh, we don't know if we're going to be in business next year. Prices were down, and I'm sure prices will still be down a little bit this year.
Aaron Borer says if cattle ranchers don't make enough money, they can't afford the gas and fertilizer and hay, all the things they need to stay in business. When it's especially desperate, ranchers even have to sell their breeding cows to the slaughterhouse for far less than they're worth. And when all that excess beef enters the market, it pushes prices even lower. And it's not just the beef cows. Low milk prices have led thousands of dairy cows to the slaughterhouse this year, too. Shannon Nybergs is an agricultural economist at Washington State University.
The livestock producers are getting hit both on the oversupply and weak consumer demand. And as an example of that, I went to the local grocery store and bought a beautiful prime rib roast for $3.60 a pound. And usually that would be $6, $7 a pound.
Nyberg says the low prices will be short-lived. He says when the economy recovers and consumers start to buy more beef, there won't be enough breeding cows to meet that demand. He says when people ask for advice, he half-jokingly tells them to pack their freezers with beef. In Terrebonne, Oregon, I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
The U.S. has stepped up its campaign against piracy in the Indian Ocean. For the first time, big hunter-killer surveillance drones called Reapers have started patrolling off the coast of Somalia. Marketplace's Stephen Beard has more.
The end of the monsoon season has brought a rash of pirate attacks in the Indian Ocean. The Reapers have been deployed to meet the rising threat. 36 feet long, these unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, are the size of a jet fighter. They're capable of carrying a dozen guided bombs. These Reapers are designed solely for surveillance, though. They're not armed, nor should they be, says Karen Jacks of Dryad Maritime Intelligence. She says there's too much scope for error.
Even when you're on a cargo ship or, you know, a yacht, being approached by a skiff at 300 yards, even at that distance, it's very hard to determine whether you're actually being attacked or not, let alone watching from a UAV at long distance.
U.S. officials concede the Reapers will help combat but not eliminate the hijackings. In a chaotic, impoverished place like Somalia, the financial attractions of piracy are just too great. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, maybe you've heard about the trend of pop-up restaurants where you cook a fancy meal in your home and charge money for it. Well, a British woman was into it. She was advertising a Harry Potter-themed dinner for Halloween until Warner Brothers put a stop to that. The company's lawyers wrote her a letter saying, hey, we're glad that you're a fan, except you can't charge for Harry Potter. We own those rights. The woman wrote back saying she's now changed the title of her evening to Generic Wizard Night. This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.